All at once I was a lady myself, and when I tried to get that ice cream I had the same sensation that one had when I was hung. But the lady, who was carrying the ice cream had such power that, before I knew it, she had thrown me out of the window bodily. Mind you, I have to thank you for delivering me from all that trouble and also want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for the sermon you gave me at that time, which helped me to an understanding of the beautiful world beyond. I wish again that I could stand on every street corner and tell the mothers to raise their children to be good men and women, and when necessary, punish them while they are little, and not spare the rod and spoil the child. If mothers raised their children properly, there would not be the selfishness there is in the world. I have a nice little home in the spirit world now, and I have much to do, for my work is not yet done. I am trying to extend help to all those who wish help. I thank you for enlightening me in the first place. Good night. The car barn murderer, of Chicago, was a criminal of a different type, a victim of his environment, and was brought to our circle some time after his execution, when he followed a girl, formerly a family neighbor, who came to visit Mrs. Wickland. He returned several times after that, to tell his story and to bring earthbound spirits of similar experiences to an understanding. Experience, September 21, 1918. Spirit, Pete Ney Idemia. Psychic, Mrs. Wickland. I want to come here tonight to tell you that I also am one who is very thankful to you, although you probably do not care whether I come again or not, but I do know you helped me to something like happiness which I thought never could be mine. I was nothing but a wild beast in earth life, but still, when you do not give children proper training, how can you expect to have good men? I had no training at all. My mother was very wild and did not care what became of her children. She thought, let them take care of themselves. So you go out in company with others and get into first one game then another. Sometimes you go to church. I didn't believe in that old story about Christ. I could not believe it, and I thought there was no such thing as what they taught about Christ, and if there was, what did I care? I walked in the path of evil from the time I was a little boy until I got where I could not live any longer, whether I wanted to or not. I will tell you, if you have children, please give them an understanding when they are little. If they take anything from a person, make them take it back where they got it. Don't let them get the idea that you will take it from them and think it is all right. If they steal once, they will again, if not properly taught. When I stole, my mother thought I was a smart boy. I kept on going from bad to worse. I belonged to a gang of about a dozen boys. We got so bold and desperate that we did not care what became of us. We got into all kinds of holdups and the more we got into, the better we liked it. At last we held up and killed people. The result was, that we were caught and hung. I am Ney Idemia, and here I am. Years ago I was brought to this circle through a neighbor girl. I liked that girl very much. One day she went away from home and I thought I would go with her. I did not realize that I had been hung. I did not realize that I was dead. I had gone home and had stayed there for a long time, but I did not know that I was dead. My mother was a strange woman, but from what I have seen since I came to the spirit side of life, I realized that she was obsessed. Nobody could do anything with my mother. My father and my brother were very good people, but my mother and I were the black ones. This neighbor girl was good, and she always tried to do the best for me that she could. The day I followed her, she went to this man's house, Dr. W. And she went into a little room and spoke with the psychic through whom I am talking now, and I saw things that day that I had never seen before. I did not know what they meant. Somebody seemed to keep me there, and I could not get away. Before I knew much I was sitting in a little meeting, I heard singing and before I realized it I was full of life again. I could talk and my throat did not hurt me anymore. I began to wonder what had happened to me. You talked to me so kindly that it helped me. You talked to me about the real life on the other side. You helped me to an understanding of life, not what the church and minister has taught, that we should pray to God and believe in the blood of Christ, and that Christ died for our sins, and that if we believe that we will go to heaven. I was not the kind that could go on that straight road, because I felt that was too easy, and I couldn't believe that we could get to heaven without any effort on our part. I knew I was bad, yet I felt in my heart that I should do something to try and be good, and do good for what I had done bad. The thought of that seemed to be more reasonable than that of jumping from my bad condition right into heaven. I thought I would not be a very good example either. You commenced to talk to me about the philosophy of God in a way I had never heard before, and it appealed to my sense. I hope somebody will talk in that way to my fellow men who are in the condition I was. It would touch their hearts. There are many of them who are not bad, but nobody cares for them. The majority of them do not believe in the Jesus Christ story. As they are now, they are going to the dogs. Since I came to this little circle the first time and received help, I have had my struggles. It is years since I made my first appearance here. I want to tell you what I have to do since my mother passed out. I have tried and tried to bring her to an understanding of the truth, but she will not listen. I hope someday to be able to awaken her to a higher condition. As we progress, we go from circle to circle. If I believed that Christ died for my sins, that belief and creed would keep me out of the higher spirit world. When I had passed out of my body, you told me that I should look for spirit friends who would help me, and that my first lesson would be to serve others. I have had a very hard time. The first thing I had to do was to conquer self, and it is very hard to conquer selfishness when you have never thought of anything else but selfishness. We must conquer that before we can do any work at all in the spirit world. The best way is to be put in a dark room. We sometimes call it a dungeon, where we see nothing but ourselves and our acts of the past. One after another, these acts come crowding in. The good ones are so few that they hardly count for anything. When we do see a good act, it seems as if it belongs to someone else. We have to stay there until our hearts and eyes are opened. When we seek to overcome our bad habits and to live for others, then we get out of the selfish state. My heart was very hardened, but finally I cried out, "Not my will any longer, but thine." The first thing to be done is to help serve the very lowest we come in contact with. I felt that I did not want to assist with this or that, but I had to. I had to learn patience. When we can serve without grumbling and do it for the love of our fellow man, it does not seem so hard. So I have gone on and on, from one thing to another, always learning, and through learning I have stepped into a more beautiful condition. In the invisible world we advance by stages, but only through learning. I want to thank you tonight for the help you have given me. I have a beautiful little home in the spirit world by this time, and I am happy. But my work is not done yet. My work is to keep on helping those who need help, and to try to influence the boys on earth not to do the mischief they are planning, but to try to be good, and do the very best they know how for their fellow men. Goodbye. Experience, August 30, 1922. Spirit, Pete Nay Idemia, Saichi, Mrs. Wickland. I should like to come here tonight to say a few words. I want to thank you for helping me to the higher life. I had gone down, down, and had only hatred and selfish thoughts. I was down as far as I could go. My mother was obsessed. She had a great deal of influence over me. She was down on the world and made me do things to the neighbors that I should never have done. My father and brother were good people and were looked up to. I am Pete Nay Idemia. I want to thank you for having helped me. And now I want to ask you to send good thoughts to my mother. She has passed out, but I cannot reach her. She was obsessed by a very evil spirit. She sent evil thoughts to me, and I was very sensitive to them. You did a Christian act for me which no one else had ever done. I was shunned by all. When you are in a large city, with all its temptations, and have not learned anything about the higher things, you get in bad company. You get so wrapped up with things that are bad that you think everything belongs to you just as much as it does to the other fellow. Jealousy, selfishness and ignorance are three things that we should all try to conquer. When they get hold of you, they are the devil in you. You feel jealous of everybody that has more than you. You are selfish. You don't want to give anything away, You just want to keep it all for yourself. You want everything that belongs to others. You feel that if there is a God, he should have given you a chance as well as the rest of them. In that atmosphere I was brought up. Mother was selfish and jealous. Nobody in the neighborhood liked her. She did not have one friend. I was her pet and I could have anything. Father told me not to do bad things, but mother said not to mind what he told me, but to go ahead and do as I pleased. I went out and stayed out nights in bad company. We got a gang together. I did not mean to get into the gang as I did, but I was forced into it by the club. You understand, they have clubs, secret clubs, those fellows, and when you join you have to do just what they say, because you are in their power. If you try to withdraw you cannot, because they will squeal on you. They watch you and somebody follows you all the time. The new beginners are the ones who do the dirty work. The leaders very seldom get caught. There is a school and the new beginners learn to do bad things. Some of the leaders are in the finest society in big cities, and they get to know where we can find people to rob. You may sometimes wonder how we know where to go to find jewelry and money. Our leaders know all about it. They are in fine society all the time. They have money, so it wouldn't do any good to squeal on them. If I should tell you the names of some of our leaders who are in society in Chicago, you would not believe me. You would say that it is not so. If you would tell on them, they would at once squeal on you and say you robbed such a house. What could you do? You just have to keep still. That is what the underworld is doing. The upper world uses the underworld when it suits its purpose. What we steal in one city, they send off to another city. Always you will find our leaders in the finest society, but we do not dare say anything. When you once join their club, what I would call the devil's club, you can't say anything. You are in their claws, and our leaders are worse than devils, they are so mean. If we should kill, we are the ones who suffer, but they get the money. I came here tonight to thank you for having helped me. Nobody ever gave me a helping hand before. In that car barn murder I did not kill anyone. I was with the gang, but the one who did the work did not get hung. He got away. We four were hung, because we were there. I was innocent. My work was to watch, which I did, but I did not murder. I was hung for it. If you have any influence at all, do not hang people. Let them have another chance, because sometimes you will find they are innocent. Keep them in the pen. Give them another chance. If they are hung, then where are they? All they have in their hearts is hatred. They go back to earth life and do more mischief. They control people and obsession steps in. I had hatred when I was hung and said if there is life again I will get even and fight for revenge. You remember Tilly, who lived next door to me. I told you about her before. She used to come to your circles. I followed her once and through her influence I came into your circle and was converted to the higher life. Tilly always had a good influence over me and sometimes she wanted to talk to me, but mother was always jealous and didn't want her to talk. Mother was very mean to Tilly's people. She got so mad at the time I was hung that she tormented all her neighbors. She tore up all the fences and closed up all the stable windows on their side. She tried to shoot everybody she could. If my father Bad had the gun loaded, mother would have been in great trouble. Tilly was my guardian angel, and through your circle I got over my hatred. Now I tried to help others with the light you gave me. My mission is to help the unfortunate ones, like this fellow who came before me. I try to influence people to be more just. If you have a chance to hang anyone, don't do it, but give him another chance. You have no right to kill. Nobody should kill another person. We are all God's children. We all make mistakes, and the strong should help the weak. When one person murders another, no justice is shown, no mercy. The judge and the jury, what mercy do they show a fellow when he has murdered? Why should they kill him instead of giving him another chance? Why don't they give a good word to the poor ones? Why don't they go to the prisoners and teach them of the higher life, and also have psychic circles and try to help them? As soon as you stop capital punishment you will not have so much killing. When persons are hanged, they have revenge and hatred in their hearts, and all they want to do is kill, kill, kill. So they influence sensitive mortals and make them commit all kinds of crime. I want to say again, if you have any influence, stop capital punishment. This is a Christian country and nobody has a right to kill another. As they killed Christ, so they kill boys who have been murderers, instead of teaching them while they are young. Isn't it right that they should be taught to do better, and to live better lives? The time will come when the world will have to understand that it must overcome selfishness. There will be lots of trouble before that time comes. There will be much destruction, but after that, things will be better. I am now doing my work in the spirit world, and I thank you for bringing me to a realization and waking me up. I have little meetings here and there. I give little thoughts of cheer to those in darkness. I am up against a very hard condition, and that is, to get my mother to understand. I wish you would all send good, kind thoughts to her, because she only had hatred and selfishness and jealousy in her heart. She was so wrapped up in herself that now she will not listen to anyone. Help me to wake her up and realize the true condition of life. Oh, how I thank you for helping me. At heart I was not a murderer, yet I was hung for murder. I was not with the gang that was doing the work, all I did was to watch. I was there with them and that was enough for the jury. I had the name. Now I am trying to do my part, but I have much to learn. I was very ignorant of the real life. My father wanted me to go to Sunday school. Mother told me I didn't need to go, but I went, and I didn't find anything there that appealed to me, so I quit going. I know now that God is everywhere and that I am a part of God. I had a hard time getting rid of selfishness, jealousy and ignorance. They are the root of all evil. When they are gone, love, kindness and sympathy take their place. Get an understanding of the higher life and you will be happy. All should be brothers and sisters on earth, as we are in the higher life. In the spirit world our real eyes are opened. You cannot progress until you have learned the lessons of life. You know, a schoolboy cannot go to university until after he gets through his school books. He must go to kindergarten before he can enter the university, and he has to get there step by step. So it is in the spirit world. It is the world of happiness. We cannot appreciate it until we have it before us. Everybody should know these things before they step over the borderland. We cannot go to the spirit world until we have an understanding of it. When we are one with God, then we have happiness. I do not know much, and I cannot say much, because I have seen so little of it. I have much work to do before I go on. The spirit world is like going into a garden and seeing one beautiful flower here and another there. The flowers all stand up so straight and look at you and seem to say, "Please take me." This one has a certain odor, and that one another, but all are beautiful and fragrant. The spirit world is like a flower bed. All is beauty and harmony. I mean, there is no selfishness. One shines more than another because he has more understanding. We will all get there. But we have to gain advancement for ourselves. No one needs to get discouraged, all will get there, but it takes time. Thank you for having helped me to an understanding and a home, but for that, I should have been an earthbound spirit, doing more harm than good, for I had hatred in my heart. I am very happy, but I want you all to send a good thought to my mother, so that I can wake her up, and help her to overcome her selfishness, jealousy and ignorance. Just give me a chance to wake her up. I thank you all. Chapter 7, Spirits and Suicide. A great number of unaccountable suicides are due to the obsessing or possessing influence of earthbound spirits. Some of these spirits are actuated by a desire to torment their victims. Others, who have ended their physical existence as suicides, find themselves still alive, and, having no knowledge of a spirit world, labor under the delusion that their self-destructive attempts have failed and continue their suicidal efforts. When these intelligences come in contact with mortal sensitives, they mistake the physical bodies for their own, and impress the sensitives with morbid thoughts and instigate them to deeds of self-destruction. The fate of a suicide is invariably one of deepest misery, his rash act holding him in the earth sphere until such time as his physical life would have had a natural ending. One suicide case which we contacted was the spirit of a woman, Mrs. X, who had been my Sunday school teacher when I was a boy in Europe, but of whom Mrs. Wickland had never heard. This lady had been intelligent and spiritual, an earnest church member, happily married and the mother of several children. Without any warning, while apparently happy and contented, she had suddenly hung herself, and the horrified husband and children could in no way account for the tragedy. One winter day 10 years later, when Mrs. Wickland and I were alone in our home in Chicago, Mrs. Wickland was unexpectedly controlled by a spirit who gasped for breath and seemed to be strangling. This spirit, like so many others, was unconscious of controlling a body not its own, and upon contacting matter, again experienced its last death struggle. After much questioning I learned, to my great surprise, that this was the spirit of my former friend, who had ended her physical life by hanging herself. She was still bound to the earth sphere and related the indescribable mental hell she had been enduring all those years. As soon as I found myself out of my body, I saw at once the cause for my rash act. Evil spirits, who had been attracted to me by the jealous thoughts of other persons, were standing near, grinning with devilish satisfaction at their work. They had influenced me to end my life. I had no occasion to even think of such folly. An irresistible impulse had suddenly come over me. I fastened the rope around my neck, and only realized what I had done when it was too late. I would have given the world to have been able to regain possession of my body. Oh, what horrors of despair and remorse I have gone through! My home shattered, my husband broken-hearted and discouraged, and my little ones needing my care. They do not know that I come to them and try to comfort them, and I have seen nothing but gloom and darkness until now, comforted and reassured by an explanation of the true spiritual realms. This spirit was eager to go with the higher intelligences and learn how she might be of service to her loved ones on earth. Many years later, when we had with us a patient of strong suicidal tendencies, this spirit returned to warn her against carrying out her intentions. Experience, November 17, 1918. Spirit, Mrs. X. Psychic, Mrs. Wickland, it is a long time since I have been here. I should like to say a few words to this young lady who is contemplating suicide. Many years ago I was a happy wife, with two dear children and a very kind husband. We lived together happily, since we were both of a cheerful disposition, and because of this there were many jealous thoughts centered upon us. I did not know at that time that I was a psychic, because I belonged to the Baptist Church. I did the very best I could around the home, but somebody started to upset us. One day, when my husband went to work, I kissed him goodbye and was very happy, but after he was gone, all in a moment something got hold of me. I did not know what I was doing. I didn't know a thing. I remember feeling very strange, as if somebody had taken complete hold of me, and I did not realize what was taking place. After a while everything changed. I saw my husband in terrible mental agony, and he was crying very bitterly. When things became a little clearer to me, I saw my body hanging there. Oh, if you could only realize what a condition I was in. My husband stood there in the shed, looking at my hanging body. He was crying heartbrokenly, but I could do nothing to help him. There I stood at his side, wishing with all my power that I could have that body again, but I could not. There were my two little children weeping for me, and I could not help them. I did not know what was the matter until I saw some evil spirits standing near, laughing at us. They had gotten hold of me and made me kill myself, because they wanted to break up our happy home. My husband could never forget the sight of my body hanging in the shed. My children were small and needed my help, but the responsibility of raising them was thrown on my husband's. It should have been my duty to have shared that responsibility, although I had been influenced to do what I did. For 10 long years I could see nothing before me but what I had done. I could see how much the children needed me, but I could do nothing for them. And oh, How I suffered. My poor, poor children. One day, a very cold day, I felt that I had come to life again. I felt a new warmth. I did not know where I was, but I felt that I had come to life. I found myself talking to Dr. Wickland. He told me what had happened, and explained that I was only temporarily controlling Mrs. Wickland, and that friends would take me to the spirit world. After this I felt somewhat better, and I thank you for having helped me to the beautiful condition I have now. But oh, how I suffered during those 10 long years. All I could see was my body hanging before me, and the children's need of me. My husband and children. How they needed my care, but I was powerless to help them. I want to warn anybody who is thinking of trying to get out of the physical body. Do not do it under any circumstances. You do not know, you cannot realize, what a hell you will find yourself in. You cannot step into your body again after you once leave it, and you cannot do your duty to others. Think of my children always having the thought that their mother committed suicide. Neither my husband nor children can ever really forgive me. Even though I was controlled when I did what I did, I have had to suffer. If you had an understanding of the laws of the spirit side of life, you would not commit suicide, knowing the results. Overcome any thoughts of taking your life. Be happy on this earth plane until the time comes for you to go to the spirit world. The 10 years that I suffered was the time I should have remained on earth before passing to the spirit side of life. After my 10 years had expired, I should have left my body, for my life would have been lived out. But during that time I could have given help to my husband and children. I should not have reached the spirit side of life before my allotted time, and my punishment was to constantly see my body hanging before me for 10 years. All that time I could realize that my husband and children were in great need of my help. Now I am as happy as I can be until my family is reunited, and I am doing all I can to help my children. I want you to send my love to my dear husband. He feels that he is all alone. I am with him, but I can do nothing to comfort him in his loneliness. Goodbye. Dash. On November 20, 1904, while Mrs. Wickland and I were visiting with friends in Chicago, a circle had been formed for a psychic demonstration when Mrs. Wickland heard someone say, "I am in the dark." She inquired who had made the remark, but no one in the room had uttered a word. However, the gentleman sitting beside Mrs. Wickland declared that he too had heard the voice. A moment later Mrs. Wickland became entranced and fell to the floor, the spirit clutching at the throat and crying, "Take the rope away. Take the rope away. I am in the dark. Why did I do it? Oh, why did I do it?" When the excited spirit had been somewhat quieted, she told us that her name was Minnie Harmoning, that she was a young girl and had lived on a farm near Palatine. As she was speaking brokenly, between sobs, it was difficult to distinguish her words, and I understood her to say that she came from Palestine, which seemed rather strange. The spirit was in great grief because she had hung herself, and thought the body of the psychic was her own, and that the rope was still about her neck. She said that on October 5th, without any cause or premeditation, she had been overpowered by a desire to take her life, and when alone had gone to the barn and hung herself. A big man with a black beard made me do it. Spirit, he met me in the barnyard and hypnotized me, and made me hang myself to a rafter, but I don't know why I did it. My brother John found me and cut me down, and my parents were almost beside themselves. But I am not dead. I am at home all the time and I talk to my mother and father. I try to comfort them and make them know that I am not dead, but they do not notice me and do not answer me. My folks all sit around the table crying, and there is my empty chair, but no one answers me. Why don't they answer me? We could not at first convince her that she was expressing herself through the body of another, but after a lengthy conversation, she was somewhat enlightened and comforted, and left with spirit friends. Previous to this incident, neither Mrs. Wickland nor I had heard of the Harmoning suicide mystery, and we did not know that such a girl had ever existed. Several days later, a reporter from one of the Chicago dailies came to interview us regarding our research work, and I related our recent experience with the Harmoning girl. In great surprise he said that he himself had been the reporter on the Harmoning case and that the girl had lived in Palatine, Cook County, Illinois. The dead body of the girl had been found hanging in her father's barn, but no one knew of any cause for suicide, although the girl had always been peculiar.